Good morning. It's the 17th of September. Our New Testament reading today is Luke chapter 9. I'm going to read to you from Brother Melva Perkis' book once again. These are his thoughts on the feeding of the 5,000. I read. Discussion upon the manner in which the bread was multiplied will yield little profit. All God's creative work is an appeal to faith to the thoughtful man. It is an adventure in faith to believe that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen are not made of things which do appear. Those who live and toil in constant touch with the creative power of the Almighty, watching the seasonal transformations of each successive year, the golden miracle of the harvest, and the continual wonder of newborn life, have less difficulty in understanding this sign which Jesus gave and was soon to unfold in its deeper meaning. And will not that deeper meaning reveal a greater miracle still? The broken body of the Son of God was destined to distribute the bread of life among a multitude which no man can number, from every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Walking for miles along the muddy, uneven shores of the lake, these people had sought for Jesus. Forgetful of their physical needs, they had listened to his words. How beautifully he fulfilled his promise that, seeking first the kingdom of God, temporal needs will be added. And although the fuller significance of this ministration was to wait for the morrow, can we not see in the 12 baskets remaining a symbol of the love that fulfills the desperate need of man and gains in the giving? The effect of this miracle was immediate and spontaneous. The sheep needing a shepherd became a people wanting a king. They were staggered by the greatness of the power which this man wielded. They accepted with awe his healing qualities, directed to the needs of a single sufferer. But this was stupendous power, directed to the needs of a hungry nation, power on a national scale. Here, surely, was the one who should come, the Messiah who should destroy all opposition and bring in the kingdom of God, restoring Israel to her proud place as head of the nations in an age of righteousness and peace. The Passover was at hand, that time when national hopes were high, when the oppression of Rome was most bitterly resented. The murmuring grew in volume until it became an ominous roar. The people surged around their Messiah, intent on marching with him upon Jerusalem and declaring him their king. Jesus looked at his disciples. They were obviously affected by this mass hysteria. Action must begin with them. Matthew records, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away." Luke does not record the ensuing storm, but Brother Perkis writes this about it. Many lessons emerge from this night on the sea, nor are they all for the benefit of the immediate disciples alone. Life can present a picture of a dark and turbulent sea with Jesus afar off. It is the slow triumph of faith to see him on the heights above in communion and intercession with his Father. Sometimes he comes to us in the midst of the storm and darkness, in unfamiliar form which we must learn to recognise. We are quick to appreciate, if we are slow to learn, that when we walk over the waters to meet him, we must not be dismayed by the darkness, the winds or the waves. We must believe that his power is greater far, that he can save even to the uttermost. That faith can only be sustained by keeping our eyes fixed lovingly and obediently upon him. Thank you for listening.